Welcome to the Recipe Podcast, Celebrity Seekers to a Successful Life. This is the Gourmet Club Live Special Edition brought to you by Chef to Chef. I am your host, Chef Charles Carroll. What a great day. What a great show we have for you. We took our show on the road to New Orleans, Louisiana, on location at the Chef to Chef Conference. If you're not here, you're missing an amazing conference, but the good news is we are bringing you all the interviews from these industry stars. Go to cheftochefconference.com for more details. Now, let's get started. Welcome into the Recipe Podcast, Celebrity Secrets to a Successful Life. I'm your host, Chef Charles Carroll. What a great day, what a great show we have for you today. This is the Gourmet Club Live, and not only is this a Gourmet Club Live show, we are live at the Chef to Chef Conference in New Orleans, and we're having a blast here with the town is hopping, the city is hopping, and the Chef to Chef, all the folks are showing up today. And we are bringing these shows to you right in the middle of the conference. So you're going to hear some banging and some doors opening, and that's okay because that's what it takes to get all these great chefs on the podcast. So thank you, listeners, for your patience. And you're the smartest people on the planet. Make sure you share the show with all your loved ones. And go to chefcharlescarroll.com, and you can see several links there to see all of these or listen to all of these shows as well as the other show, the Recipe Unplugged. Also, if you're listening to this show, you saw the link on Facebook and played it. We need you to go to wherever you listen to podcasts and download our show and subscribe. Okay, so go on there and search Chef Charles Carroll or search the Recipe Celebrity Secrets and subscribe. And then from that point forward, all of these shows will be downloaded into your phone automatically. So thank you for that. And tell all your friends about it as well. So with that, I'm sitting here with Jennifer Kopp, and you are here in town, and thank you so much for sharing your knowledge with all of our dear friends and taking time out of your day to be here.
My pleasure. It's kind of fun and exciting, and I'm always happy to see you again.
Yeah, I mean, we've known each other for a long time now.
Very long time.
Yeah, so the audience out there that has never met you, tell them a quick clip about you.
Well, I had always wanted to be a pastry chef, grew up in Maryland, and went to Johnson & Wales in Providence, Rhode Island, worked at Desserts International for a few years for certified master pastry chef Gunter Hyland, worked in Vegas and Philadelphia at the Four Seasons, moved back home to Maryland and worked at the Chevy Chase Club for certified master chef Joachim Buchner for 13 and a half years.
We know that crazy guy, right?
He is fun. He is. He's extremely talented. Yeah. And also, I learned a lot working with him, for him, for that many years. Very innovative.
Right. And then, so currently?
Currently, I am working at the Metropolitan Club for Chef Vincent Horville, who is a fun French guy. And I really do enjoy working for European chefs, looking back over my past resume and experiences. But there's a lot to learn everywhere you go, and the Metropolitan Club is great. It's in Washington, D.C., about a block and a half away from the White House, so that is always fun with the motorcades going by on your way to work.
Mm. Yeah, and I've been at that club. There's a lot of history there, right?
There is.
Yeah, a lot of creaky, into the bar and all the pictures and in the hallways of all the pictures, and a lot of the presidents have also visited there, right? I've been to the club.
Indeed.
Yeah,
and
a lot of history.
There is one room where it is heard that the ghost of Mr. Anderson walks the room, and the phone falls off the hook on occasion, the lights flash.
Oh, no.
I've never personally experienced it, but it could always happen.
So what an amazing story career, and you're such a young gal. What are you, 24 now?
Yeah, about that.
No, I mean, you're so young, And you've been at some amazing places and worked for some amazing properties.
I've been very lucky in my career. Between the opportunities afforded me by the team, being a part of the team, some amazing, excellent, talented chefs I've worked with over the years, and I guess to build on what you were saying with Chef Millian, if you're young and you're in the industry and you have a good work ethic, if you stop and learn the basics, once you have those basics, you can build on them. And wherever you go, whoever you meet, whatever you see, there's always something to learn from everyone, whether it's a random person at a team practice who's working in the kitchen where you're working, whether it's a chef with two pages of accolades after his name. One of the most interesting experiences I've had over my career were one of the most interesting experiences I've had over my career has been the experience of being on the team.
Yeah, so let's unwrap that a little bit, because I don't think we've had a lot of Olympic chefs on the show. So World Culinary Olympics is every 4 years, and it's always in Germany. And it's only moved, I think, 3 times now, and it's just moving again. But it's every 4 years, and if you're blessed enough to make a team, you have to do a lot of competitions, and then you try out, and you make the Olympic team. And then once you make the Olympic team, you're working just like the Sports Olympics, and you're training, and you're competing all over the world for about 3 years, getting ready for what we call the big show, the World Culinary Olympics. But in the meantime, there's other world chefs competitions in Luxembourg and Singapore and a bunch of others. So there's a little bit of a backdrop of what the World Culinary Olympics are. And tell us, how did you get started into the competition world, and what are some of the competitions you've been part of?
When I was at Johnson & Wales, there was an ad posted if anyone would like to be a part of a competing school team, sign up here. So I signed up. I did 2 competitions with the Johnson & Wales team. One of them involved driving to Ohio in a van for 15 hours. With my team, we got very close. At that competition, it was an ACF regional competition, and Chef Roland Schaefer selected me to be part of the 1996 apprentice team. And from there, the rest is history.
Roland Schaefer, the godfather.
Indeed, the man with the plan. He chose me to be a part of the team. I was incredibly honored. I was lucky enough to go to, it was in Berlin that year. And when you were on the national team, I believe, making the most beautiful salads, the next step after that was to try and get myself onto the regional team, and the national team was my ultimate goal. And in 2008, I was on the regional team, and in 2012, I was on the national team.
Wow, that's awesome. A lot of work.
A lot of work, a lot of learning, and it only elevates your abilities to be challenged. So the constant challenge, trying to do something new, trying to do something different, and then trying to do it perfectly, just over and over again, it consumes your life. And you eat, breathe, and live pastry.
Yeah, and those competitions, for some of you out there don't know, many of them go 50, the preparation and to the show goes like 50 hours with no sleep, you know, and you're still trying to do perfection, and that's really difficult. So what was one of the craziest things that's happened? Because I got to go back, and I have 100 stories, and I assume that you do too. So what is one of the craziest stories that you had in competition that happened to you?
There are so many. Seeing you actually reminds me of one from my apprentice
days. Oh, no, let's not tell that one.
But it was a good one.
Okay.
I was apprenticing for the national team, and they were building their cold food presentations, and it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and so tired, still trying to make it, have to get the food done. And I was an apprentice, and I'd been awake for probably 42 hours at that point, running around crazy. What do you need, chef? What do you need, chef? They needed coffee, but they were in a random room, I believe, in a hospital, and there was no coffee to be found except some coffee grounds, but no coffee machine. So I built one out of a chinois and some cheesecloth and boiled a pot of water and strained it a few times, and presto, they had coffee. And you've never seen people so happy to have coffee before.
Yeah, and when you're going on your 50th hour, you know, you're okay with a spoon of grounds at that time, let alone making something like that happen. So in your competitions that you've been on, you've garnered some all kinds of medals.
I've
gold, silver, and bronzes.
the harder you work, the more you tend to earn.
Yeah.
I think the closet full of hardware is nice to have, but what I take with me more from these competitions, the people I've met, the learning I've experienced, the things I can do now. I remember being a pastry cook working for Chef Highland and thinking, oh my God, am I ever going to get this? Am I ever going to be able to do it right? There was a time when there were biscotti in the oven and I burned tray after tray after tray, and he's watching me and telling me, watch the oven, watch the oven. Well, I'm watching him in the oven and I'm watching them burn. And I don't figure it out until I bumped a tray, one fell on the floor. Oh, biscotti doesn't get crisp until it cools. And I was standing there at the oven waiting for them to get crisp while they were in the oven. Yes, my 21-year-old self.
Yeah.
But those are the things you learn. And the more experiences you have, the more things you see, the more people you meet. I still remember your gorgeous salad with the pâte à choux salon.
Oh, thank you.
Chef Joe Bosich had some incredibly beautiful food. I remember a vegetarian platter that she did. Mm-hmm. The color was so vibrant. Mm-hmm. And people who do competitions are lucky in the sense they get to work with people like themselves who all want the same goal. They are all trying to achieve getting food to be what it can be.
Get that right up to you. There you go. So you know what? You said that. I know our audience is out there and they hear us, that it's the people, you know, and that first gold medal was the most amazing thing and you cherished it for so long. And then after the many years and all the other competitions, it's amazing. And you know, we always say, what's special about the industry? And it's the people. But I can't amplify this enough. When you go through hell, when you go through war, when you go through 4 years, 8 years, 12 years of competition, and the camaraderie and the schlepping with baggage and staying up, you know, 50 hours and then doing the impossible in a hotel room, you know, miniature kitchen or on a rooftop or whatever the case.
In
the back of a van in a parking lot, you know, and getting these showpieces on airplanes and traveling halfway across the world. When you go through these things, and then you champion with your team on stage, I mean, there's no other feeling, right? Yep. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. The friendships are for life.
Yes.
And it makes, at the end of the day, and usually a few years later, the medals are not even important anymore. It's the friendships that we've garnished along the way that's made it amazing.
And the relationships you create.
Yeah.
And you run into the people at the Chef to Chef conference.
That's right.
And all the memories come back.
That's right. That's right. Well, who do you, I know it's probably not a fair question, but who do you think was one of your most cherished mentors?
Chef Gunter Heinz.
Yeah, it has to be, right?
I still talk about him
legend.
Constantly.
He's a legend.
He's
a
legend. He taught me not only how to be a pastry chef, but how to be a great pastry chef. And he told me the difference between good and adequate and doing that little bit more and being great. He taught me the importance of the basics. And he also threw in a lot of life skills there.
Yeah,
he was a true mentor in every sense of the word.
All right, so we're up against it here, Jennifer. So tell us, what will you be presenting at Sea Here? You're on your Monday. So what are you going to share with our colleagues?
So having this be a chef to chef conference, the majority of chefs these days in clubs don't always have a pastry chef.
Right.
So they asked me to present something that...
Those pastry chefs are a little crazy. They're hard to work. No, I'm just kidding.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
But that's what makes us interesting.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Got to keep you on your toes.
Yeah.
Something accessible for chefs to do. Some desserts that can take the traditional desserts that the membership is used to and present them in a trendy way. Mm. More contemporary and something that a chef can do when he doesn't have a pastry chef.
Cool. Hey, well, listen, girls, so always good to see you. And I can't wait to see your presentation tomorrow. And thank you for sharing and taking time out of your day to be with us all here today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
All
it's great to see you.
Okay, bye-bye. And we're back with Nelson Meehan. How's that? Mignon. That's pretty good, right?
That's awesome. You did good.
We're back with Chef Nelson. And, man, we have a really special guy here. We're going to share with you at this Chef to Chef conference. And, Chef, you just came in last night from Austin. Is that right?
At San Antonio.
San Antonio, I'm sorry.
But I flew out of Austin.
Flew out of Austin. Okay.
Yeah. It's an easier airport in that regard. It's a closer shot, actually, hour and a half.
Man, I should have flown because it took me 7 hours to what should have been a five-hour drive, and it was the traffic was crazy. So, So welcome to Chef to Chef, and you're is this your first Chef to Chef conference?
Actually, no. This is out of 10. This is a number 8.
Wow.
I missed 2 because we were so busy. This is season for us in Texas.
Yeah, I get that right.
And we're busy. And I remember the 1 year I missed, it was because the CMA was taking place in San Antonio.
Okay.
And our club was the hub for anything CMA, including the Wine Society dinner and all that. And I couldn't make it that at that time.
Sure.
But that was the only reason I missed it, because I must be here every year.
Oh, good for you, man. Good for you. So, listen, for the audience that doesn't know you, tell everybody a little bit about you.
Where I was born in the beautiful island of Puerto Rico, and I was born and raised there until probably the age of 27 when I moved to San Diego, California, and work at the Hotel Del. Mm. From the Hotel Del, I moved
big
to
hotel.
Huge.
Yeah.
This is the place I pay my dues in my career.
Okay.
That's one of those that either make you or break you.
Cut your teeth and yeah.
Yeah. $86 million in F&B a year.
Holy smokes.
It's a monster. So from there, I moved to the Ocean Reef Club in Key Largo with Chef Leap, well-known chef down there. Stayed there for about 6 years. And from there, I moved to the Cloisters in Sea Island, in Georgia.
And what year was Cloister?
Cloister was 2007 to 2010.
Right.
About 3.5 years.
So I was thinking the Cloister back in the day, Jerry. Remember, I'm trying to think of the chef. He's now passed. He was there for a long, long time.
I remember hearing stories about him.
Yeah.
Great stories, actually, all around. But
yeah.
I forgot the name doesn't come now.
I forgot his name, yeah. So the Resort Food Executive Committee, Cloister was one of the members. And, gosh, I wish we'll come back to that. But And then Ocean Reef after that. No, Ocean Reef was before, and then Sea Island.
Right, and now San Antonio, the San Antonio Country Club.
Yeah. So you've been at San Antonio Country Club since 2010.
2010.
So, you know, I asked this question with Chef Jerry Schreck earlier. We're at a club, you know, club and resort conference. What is it about clubs that's made you kind of, because you have an amazing portfolio. You have an amazing biography. What is it about country clubs that made you hang your hat?
Well, as you can tell, my background, it's mostly hotels and resorts. I actually started in Puerto Rico with the Hilton Company. Mm. Through the Hilton, and I missed that little part of my, you know, path of the career. Started culinary school in Puerto Rico, graduated. 10 months into the course, I got a job with Hilton, the Caribbean Hilton in San Juan. That was my first hotel ever. And through Hilton, I went to Switzerland. They sent me about 6 months on an externship and came back. I opened the Aruba Hilton with them as well as a part of the task force team. Came back from that and worked for Westin for a little while as well. So hotels and resorts has been my background. But once I discovered clubs down the road, the work-life balance, it's a little much better. The relationship that you develop with the membership, like you're not dealing anymore with transients that you don't see. You probably see them on a conference 1 year, and you probably don't see them again, God knows when. Yeah. The day in, day out interaction with them, get to know them, and to be part of a family kind of environment, I think it's what definitely caught my attention on that. And I got a little story. I used to deal with this headhunter from Atlanta that used to move me around on hotels and resorts. Out of the blue, one day he called. I'm at the San Antonio Country Club already. And when I answer the phone, he's like, "Nelson, where in the world are you?"
Yeah.
I'm like, "I'm at the San Antonio Country Club right now." He paused for 3 seconds, and he went to say, "Oh, boy, I lost you." That's all he said.
Yeah.
"Oh, boy, I lost you for good."
Yeah.
meaning he knew I would not come back to resorts and hotels anymore.
Yeah, that you found a home.
Yeah.
Well, so. that is something special about country clubs or clubs in general that they take good care of their people.
You know,
the good clubs take good care of their people, and when they see a good one come along, they take good care of you. So, and I'm 20 years now. I'm down the road from you.
I'm right behind you. 9 years going out.
Yeah.
In August. So. Hopefully I catch up with you.
So tell me, Chef, what about Puerto Rico now? That was a tough last year. It was a tough, tough time. Do you still have family back there? Is everybody okay?
Yep. I still have my mom and a sister and my dad still there as well. And it was rough. It was rough not to know anything about them after the hurricane and for about a month and a half, no signals on cell phones and whatnot. We tried to send them supplies. Supplies were not arriving because nothing was flying in or coming out of the airports. So for about good 6 weeks, it was agony, not knowing what's going on, not hearing no signals of life or death in this case. And
you couldn't fly in either. You couldn't go in.
No. And at any given point, honestly, when the airport opened as well and we were able to fly in, it didn't make sense to go and burden the situation with another buddy to be fed and washed and take a bath, and there's no water and supply and food. And so what we're starting to do is sending supplies when the airport's open and as much support as we can remotely from San Antonio and whatnot. And that's the way we remedy the situation. But it was a very scary situation all around.
So how long was it before you heard from your mom that she was okay?
About 5 weeks.
Wow.
5 weeks. A text came in.
Wow.
And I was texting and calling and leaving voice messages because the phone was going, the calls were going straight to voice messages. Finally, a text came in, replying to the last of my probably 1,000 texts that I sent. And that was a... an aha moment right there.
You must have fell to your knees when you finally got, right?
My soul sank.
Yeah.
Obviously, I reply. I tried to call, actually, and the call wasn't going through still. Text was the only source of communication at that time. Mm. And now, it was tough times. They're back in their feet. The island is doing great now. A good recovery. I'm a firm believer that... storms bring goodness at the end, and there's always a reason for anything in life. Mm. And in the middle of the bad that could be or could be seen like a lot of goodness now. The trees are back greener than ever.
Yeah.
People are definitely recouping and getting back in their feet, and everything is recuperating real good.
Yeah. Well, God bless you there, and I'm glad your family's okay. And that was, I had some friends that were going through the same thing, so I'm glad. I know that it must have been hell.
Yeah.
But as you all know, that you've heard of these shows now, that we're at the Chef to Chef conference, and we're right in the middle of it. We're bringing the show to you right in the middle of the action. So you're going to hear some bumping and grinding along. You're going to hear some doors opening and closing, but that's what happens when you're going live. So bear with us there. So, Chef, tell us, you're going to be presenting on Tuesday. Tell us a little bit about, you're really... one of the foremost experts in your cuisine. Tell us a little bit about what you're going to be sharing with the chefs.
Our theme is Be Our Guest. And I'm going to be sharing the stage with, actually, I'm going to be the support, actually, this time around of Chef Jalay, which is his first presentation.
You're the commie.
Yeah. I'll be the sous chef all day for him. And I let him know that all day. So it's his show. I'm going to be behind the scenes supporting him. And the reason for the theme is a conversation that we were having with Jerry Schreck, the coordinator of the conference, and we have had reciprocity on visiting each other on our own kitchens as guest chefs and in the past, and out of one of the many that we've done throughout the years. And with him in particular, a bonding had happened, and good camaraderie and a good friendship, and had turned out really good throughout the years. I met him for the first time probably about, actually on my first Chef to Chef in San Francisco, which was the second one, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the third one. So that was my first chef to chef, and that's where we met. And ever since we met, we stay in contact, and an invitation came from his part first, and then I invite him to my club later. And what we're going to talk about, it's about that, about what the goodness of how everybody wins from this kind of action of interacting and exchanging.
Networking. And
networking and working in each other's kitchens, and what comes out of that, and how the front of the house, the back of the house, and get excited about this events, and how the awareness gets in place, and we have fun doing. So,
yeah. So are you cooking at the same time, or just presenting?
Yeah, we're going to show a couple of the dishes that I did. That in my case, I'm going to do one dish. He's aiming for about two or three. So of the ones that we made on each other's kitchen when we visited each other, and that'll be part of the demo, if you will.
You know, I'm glad you guys are doing that, because that's going to tie into my presentation as well. And mine is a chef as an entrepreneur. But I know that everybody in the audience agrees that networking is powerful. And that's why, you know, one of the most parts why we're all here. And we all understand networking is special. But my whole life has been the networking to the 100th degree. And what I mean by that is it the crazy shit that's happened to me in my life has just been having a cold beer with somebody and they mention a name. Oh my God, then yeah, that could happen. And so, you know, whatever it is that we want to accomplish, somebody knows somebody who knows somebody that's going to help us.
I always says that it's a big industry, but a small network. At any given time, you are in parts of the world that you find someone that knows someone that at any given time links to your career path and someone that you have met in your path. And in that regards, I think the most, I was having a conversation with my executive sous chef actually in the office, not even probably about a week and a half ago. He came and closed the door, sat on one of the chairs, and said, I have a question for you. Has probably nothing to be with work related, but maybe yes. He said, "How can I continue building myself in this industry?" I said, "Cultivate the network. It's almost a full time job sometimes. Pick up the phone, send a text with this, you know, new era of media and whatnot, or as simple as placing a call out of the blue. Call someone that." And this is what I tell them, and this is what I do in that regards. When someone names that I have met or knew recently or back in the days pops in my mind, there's a reason for it.
Yeah.
And I just make a mental note, or even sometimes I write it down, to at any given point when I have the time, place a call.
Yeah.
And cultivating and nourishing the network, I think it's, to me, the biggest asset that you can practice in this business.
You know, that's my whole presentation is about, and it is how stupid things have happened just because of how we've been able to network. So I really want to power home that networking idea. In fact, I'm so passionate about it, I'm looking to write another book about the power of networking. But I'm glad I think our presentations are going to fall into each other. So tell us, Chef, what's one of the being a club chef, what's one of the craziest things that's happened on your property or in the kitchen while your time there? Tell us one of the behind the scenes stories.
Well, what can I say? It wasn't probably at the club, but this was at the Hotel Del.
Okay.
Let's go back to the breaking or making deal.
Yeah, let's go back.
It was Thanksgiving Day, and we were feeding about 3,000 people. Two ballrooms open, 1,500 reservations on each of them. We had this ancient oven, like deck oven with the shelves rotating, that it's been there probably since the inception of the hotel. We're roasting turkeys since probably 4 o'clock in the morning to start 10 o'clock brunch for Thanksgiving Day. In the middle of the execution and performing of the day, the oven breaks and the shelves shift. Turkeys all over the place from the floor of that cavity of the oven on the wall.
And you can't get in there.
We can get in there because it's hot at 400, 450 degrees. My executive chef at that time, short guy from Jersey, Italian guy, big deep voice. His name was Joseph Giunta. He's like, what are we going to do? I said, well, I don't know. You tell me. I went to the office. I grabbed my ice tongs to cling ice.
Yeah.
I passed them along to him. He jumped into the oven. We shut the oven off. He jumped into the oven with the tongs on hand, and I'm holding him by his legs for him not to drop into the oven. And he's pulling turkeys with the tongs, with the ice tongs out, and passing them along to the executive sous chef. And to me, that was probably the craziest thing that happened to me in my career. I've seen that firsthand right there, and been holding him by his legs. It was crazy.
You could I'm going to date myself now, but Jerry, we could go back to the Jed Clampett, the Beverly Hillbillies, and grab the meat passers, right? And they're sitting at the billiard tables, and they have the meat passers using the pool cue. So
crazy.
So chef, you're an amazing chef with amazing flavors. Your refrigerator is cooking.
My default, actually. Let's start by saying the truth. At home, my wife does most of the cooking.
Touche.
Touche, definitely. But I cook only on special occasions, and you know when we need to step up the game and whatnot. But sometimes I do some home cooking too. But she's definitely the to go to for home cooking. But as a basic basket in the cooler, like I said, I was born in Puerto Rico. Latin Caribbean cuisine is what we go for at the house, and you'll find a piece of yuca or plantain or in those regards. We're porkaholics in the island as well, so by default, we gotta find a piece of pork somewhere, a pork chop or a pork loin or maybe a tenderloin in the best scenario. That's what we probably go. Rice and beans, of course. You know, we're trying to go light in these days, and rice probably takes a toll on your belly. And most of the time, you go to the tubers, Caribbean roots and whatnot, and that's going to be part of my presentation actually as well. And inevitably, we're going to talk about some of that.
So, Chef, one last question. Other than the networking piece, you know, you've been at your club 10, 11 years now, and you have a lot of young people that are coming through. For the young people out there, listen, we have a lot of young listeners that we're blessed to have for the show. What's one of the key advices that you would give them today?
I'll say burn the stages properly and take the time to build yourself and build a foundation. Because if I can make an analogy here with a building, I mean, if you put a weak foundation on the fundamentals on you, and you try to build a 20-story building throughout your career, throughout the years, it's not the matter of getting there. It's a matter of sustaining you in there and being able to endure the challenges of the business and the requests for food from around the world that comes to you, writing menus and, you know, being able to execute with authenticity as well. So my first advice will be build yourself solidly from the foundation. Learn your foundation solidly and burn the stages properly with before you try to fly. And most of the new generation, unfortunately, are not willing to go through the grind that means and the polishing that signify. And it's very unfortunate because there's no other way around. They fly and then all of a sudden they hit a wall and they go through a spiral down frustrations and. Yeah. Unfortunately, sometimes they can't even recoup from that.
Yeah.
So build your foundation and burn the stages with patience. Get your head down and go for knowledge. Don't chase the money. Money will probably follow down the road. If so, and you might be able to live comfortably down the road to within your own meanings. But as you grow up and you build your career in this path, just build yourself solidly with knowledge.
Mm. Great, man. Nelson Mian from the San Antonio Country Club. We appreciate you coming in and spending some time with us, not only on the podcast, the Gourmet Club Live podcast, but also the Chef to Chef conference and taking time out of your busy day to be here. So thank you so much for sharing the word and being here with us today.
Thanks for the invitation. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
All right, brother. Thank you very much. And social media, any shout-outs you want to where the people can find you?
Or? Instagram, it's all I have. Yeah. I don't have time for Facebook or anything else. Yeah. I think, Facebook is in trouble in these days anyways.
Yeah, okay.
But Instagram is all I have. Chef Nelson Mian, my whole entire name, you can find me there easily.
Super.
I don't post as often as I should do.
Yeah.
But anyways, whatever you can see and share with me in there, I'll be great.
All right, brother. Thanks again, man. I look forward to the next couple of days.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Today's show brought to you by Dunkin' Coffee. Mills Dunkin' is a great guy who will fix, grind, and make the perfect custom blend of coffee for you. He has a full service of coffee and teas for hotels, clubs, and restaurants. Customer service is also their best attribute. Just ask me, because that's why we love them. Go out to their website, dunkincoffee.com, and try a blend today. That's D-U-N-C-A-N, dunkincoffee.com. Escoffier School of Culinary Arts. Are you interested in fulfilling a career in culinary arts or pastry arts? Then you need an educational partner that can help you reach the next level. Escoffier School of Culinary Arts can help you excel in the kitchen and beyond with a balanced curriculum that focuses on the latest culinary skills and methods as well as business and operations. They also offer a flexible 100% online format perfect for working professionals, world-renowned reputation, personalized student support, professional chef instructors, lifetime career assistance, and federal grants and financial aid available for those who qualify. Contact folks at Escoffier to learn more at escoffier.edu. That's escoffier.edu. American Culinary Federation. I've been a member of the American Culinary Federation for 35 years. My dad was a chef, and he got me in the American Culinary Federation, the ACF, when I was 18 years old. I've been blessed to travel the world representing the United States of America in the World Culinary Olympics. If you're not a member of the ACF, make sure you join today. They have so many benefits and education, online services, great magazines, great websites, and several conventions throughout the year. Make sure you become a member today at the American Culinary Federation. That's acfchefs.org. The Texas Beef Council is a nonprofit organization representing 130,000 beef farmers and ranchers across the state. Their goal is to increase beef demand through research, education, and promotion, utilizing the beef-loving Texans consumer brand, connecting consumers to the beef they love and the farmers and ranchers who raise it. The Texas Beef Council supports chefs and food service professionals across the state of Texas, whether it's taking chefs on a pasture-to-plate tour across Texas or supporting the future of food service industry through the Texas ProStart High School Culinary Program. The Texas Beef Council plays a pivotal role in the Texas food service community. Aceway Incorporated is a janitorial maintenance company in the Houston area. The owner, Ricardo Acevedo, is such a great guy. Ricardo and his team will come in and help you clean out your kitchens, front and back of the house, office buildings, you name it, they'll clean it with amazing attention to details. Aceway takes great care of your facility, and they also have exceptional customer service, and you all know how much that's important to me. So go to, you can dial up their number, 281-879-9899, and you will get Ricardo firsthand. So thank you so much for watching today's show. See you next time.